Now, y'all think they're clapping for you. They're clapping because I'm coming up here. It happens a lot. It's okay. It happens a lot. Somebody asked me how the service was at Ocklawaha this morning. Well, let me just show you. That's what we did this morning. That little group of people know how to do dinner on the grounds. And I stopped right in the middle of it. I said, guys, I said, there's something you need to know. I said, you have told on yourself today. You have admitted that you have the capability to host a fellowship meeting. And I'm expecting to hear that you're going to be doing that. And they're excited about hosting a fellowship meeting. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be. They've got several that are going to be gone during the month of July. And Ben's got it in June. So it may be August. I don't know. But that'll work it. It'll work itself out. But this couple right here, I want to point out, this is the mother of this lady, and this is the husband. So the lady on the bottom and this guy right here, that is Randy and Valerie Grant. Randy and Valerie just moved to Ocklawaha from Louisiana. The day that they arrived in Ocklawaha, I told you about this last week, Randy developed some kind of injury to his foot and nearly lost his foot to flesh-eating disease. They still don't know what it was, but he has just about this much of a black spot left. The rest of it is like a baby's foot. So be sure and remember God. Remember to thank God if you've been praying for Randy. If you're not, don't tell, because I did ask you to pray for Randy. So, but just a wonderful, wonderful group of people up there. I have encouraged this guy right here. This is Charles. Charles is the deacon. He is what I would consider the spiritual leader of the church. I've encouraged him to take a more active role in leading them and finding a pastor. And I said, listen, I said, Charles, it ain't me. Now, Charles says, I want it to be you. I said, Charles, that's great, but it's not me. You need to lead this church as their spiritual leader in the office of deacon to finding a pastor. And this morning he got up and announced that I would not be preaching next Sunday. It's like, okay, all right. So I'm going to be here all day next week. But they are going, I believe, to begin a more active search. So you may be seeing more of Michelle and I around here. Maya, on the other hand, might be another story. Maya actually had to work this morning. She was at work at 7 o'clock this morning. I've said many, many times, kids want a job till they actually get a job, and suddenly it's not fun anymore. But that's how my day has been. Just been a wonderful, wonderful day. Does anybody know who this person is? Raise your hand. Yes, 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 yes. Wanda, would you come here, please? This past Friday night, I honored a commitment that I've been making to this young girl for several years. Every year, at the end of her school year, they have a commencement-type show called Showcase. And I'm thinking, all right, it's homeschool, it's Christian. Yeah, how good is it going to be, right? Mm-hmm. But I've been telling her, I'm going to try. Well, this year I decided I'm going to do what it takes to get there, because I've been promising Wanda, and it meant so much to me and Michelle when Michelle's dad died and a couple of the members from Temple came all the way to his funeral. It meant a lot to me, and I wanted to give back a little bit. And so I showed up. I was surprised at the talent that was involved in this thing, but even more so than that, how many different skits they were all in. Wanda was in, I think, 6 different skits. She don't count so good, but yeah. It's amazing the talent that's in this little girl right here. I told her afterwards, I said, Wanda, you know that you're going to have to do something on Sunday night, right? She said, what? I said, I'll tell you Sunday night. This particular picture on the screen is a skit that was entitled The Ugly Stepsisters. Correct?
Yes, the Oranges.
Huh?
Dance of the Oranges.
Oh.
But it was the Ugly Stepsisters.
But it was the ugly, they called that Ugly Stepsisters, right? All right. This thing was great. It was great, but I decided this is not the one I want you to do. There was another one that she did that she actually choreographed herself. That's not the one I want you to do. I've been thinking about this a lot. What do you want Wanda to do? And from the bottom of inside of my heart, the thing that I want to see most is you to play that piano again. Now, I don't know if you can, because it's been a long time, but can you?
I don't have my book anymore.
All right. Next Sunday night. Next Sunday night. Deal?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somewhere, somehow, Wanda got discouraged. I'm not sure exactly what, but Wanda got discouraged and just let it slip. I want to see it back. Yes. And next Sunday night, you're trapped. Okay, so you got a whole week to practice. So do it. All right? Because I promise you, I'm going to remember. Chronological study of the Bible. 13 months now Israel's been away from Egypt. Again, the entire book of Leviticus happens in one 30-day period. Most of it camped at Mount Sinai. God's giving instructions for using their new tabernacle. Extremely important in understanding this book, even in everyday issues. Leviticus 19 is where we're at. Please follow along in your Bible. The title of the message is different. Different. Verse number 1 in Leviticus 19 says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." As we've discussed many times, holiness is a very misunderstood doctrine. In fact, even as I'm teaching it, I have to remind myself it means this, not what we traditionally think that it means. Most take holiness to mean sinless, and that is not anywhere close to the definition of the world, of the word. Let me say that again. Most take the word holy to mean sinless, and that is not anywhere close to what the word means. Scripture makes a distinction, an actual distinction, between holy and sinless. In Ephesians 1:4, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy," there's holy, look at the next set, "and without blame." Now, how can you be sinless and without blame? They would be the same thing. Without blame is sinless. Holy is something different. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. There are five Hebrew words translated holy in the Old Testament. H26:23, which means kind, used very, very few times. H69:22, which is a spirit being. H69:42 and H69:44, both meaning separate, which is the most common use of the word holy. It's what we discussed the last time we were on this subject. And the one in our verse tonight, okay, which is H69:18, which means clean. Clean. Sinless and clean, two different words, particularly as we look at the context of what we're talking about. Holiness is intended to make them and us, by the way, different. Holiness is intended to make them and us different. Now, in the sense of clean, I'm going to borrow Patrick. Very rarely here on Sunday nights, so I've got to embarrass the man. All right? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Okay? Today, I was at dinner on the grounds. Okay? I was doing some sweating and some working. Now, of the two of us, he's the clean one. I'm not. There is a difference between us. I'm not necessarily a bad person. I'm just distinct. I'm different from the clean one. And if you don't believe me, get a little closer. And go, you'll smell the difference. Oh, I got some good coating. Best word, coating on me. It's just nice. Michelle said, "You're kind of sweaty." It's like, yeah, it's kind of hot today. Thank you, Patrick. You can sit down. There is a distinction between Patrick and I because he's clean. I'm not clean. Does it make him a perfect person? Does it make me a horrible person? It simply makes us different. It produces opportunity to tell others why we are different. And did you notice that I was able to tell you why I don't smell so nice in a nice, general way so I don't make myself look bad or anything like that? How many of y'all noticed? Andy, you smell kind of ripe tonight. Raise your hand. Yeah, I knew it didn't. Good answer. Good answer. It produces opportunity to tell others why we're different. That's the whole purpose of holiness. Again, we are so accustomed to the word holy equaling sinless that we just assume it means sinless. It does not mean sinless. It means different. This verse, Leviticus 19:22, is a general command. A general command, ye shall be holy. That is the general command, like a general order in the Marine Corps. A general order is something you always do. Ye shall be holy. Now God is going to give specific ways for them to obey this general command. Now, I kind of let this slip last week, but this answered a question I've had about the Mosaic Law my entire life. That explains why many will be repetitions of previous laws. Have you ever wondered, as you read the Old Testament, why God said in so many different places things He had already said? Just in this case, it's a little bit in a different group. Why not just put all the Sabbath commands together? Why not just put all of the blood commands together? Why not just put all the food commands together? Why not just put all the legal commands together? To me, it makes a whole lot more sense. God is making a point in chapter 19. He says, be holy. Be holy. Now, all these things we're going to be looking at, even though He's already commanded it to them, He's going to show them these are ways for you to be different. Don't just obey the law, but actually know why you're obeying the law. Verse number 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother. Stop right there. Fear here is the same fear as in fearing God. It means reverence. Don't be afraid. Fear, respect, reverence. You're every man his mother and his father. Now, this was already commanded in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse number 12. Already commanded. Why would God say it again? Because God here is making a point. Be holy by honoring your father and mother. Be different by honoring your father and mother. The context here is holiness. It's almost as if God is telling them, be sure to do this. Be sure to do this. Why? It's going to give you opportunities because other nations don't do this. This is a chance for you to be different. And then when they come up to you and say, hey, why do you do things different? You've got an opportunity to say, because God said so. Well, who is God? Well, let me tell you about God. That's why God wants us to be different. It's not so we can be better than anybody else. It's not so we can even be cleaner necessarily than anybody else. It just gives us an opportunity to tell them why we're different. You shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Now, the Sabbath has already been commanded multiple times. At this point, I've lost track at how many times the Sabbath has been commanded, and it's going to keep getting commanded. But never in the New Testament. Never in the New Testament. He nails it over and over in the Old Testament, and one more time here in Leviticus 19. Including the Ten Commandments, God commands the Sabbath. It was a huge distinction between them and the surrounding nations, again, providing opportunities to tell why they were different. I think that the Sabbath, I don't want to say the only reason for it, but by far the primary reason for the Sabbath is just so other nations could say, them people are nuts. They shut down at one day out every week. It makes no sense. When you think of a company in America that shuts down on Sunday, the first thing that pops in your mind is always what?
Chick-fil-A.
It works. Being different works. It works. And that's just one teeny tiny little example. Imagine an entire nation shutting down. No trade. No trade. This is just a drill. If this were an actual emergency, I'd be running right now. Verse number 4. Turn ye not to idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Now again, already commanded the Ten Commandments. Why bother saying it again? It's almost like, what's going on, God? Did you forget? You already told us all this stuff? Idols in the surrounding nations were extremely diverse, but everybody had one. Everybody had an idol. Some of them had a whole bunch of idols. Every person had their own copy of the idol or idols. Now, typically, there would be a nice big one in the religious square, and then everybody else had their own little copy. Maybe they had one that's about that tall sitting in their yard. Maybe they had one about this tall hanging around their neck. And maybe they had one that's really, really, really little hiding in their pocket just for good luck. You know what that sounds like to me? Buddha. Buddha's a perfect illustration of this. Buddha, I don't know exactly all about Buddhism, but there's big Buddhas and there's little Buddhas, there's fat Buddhas and there's little Buddhas, all kind of Buddhas everywhere. Everybody's got Buddhas, all right? In Orlando, we've got a Buddhist temple, and they've got one that's 20 feet tall. And it sits out front. I don't even know what's inside that place. All right? But in reading meters, I see all kind of stuff reading meters, but there's Buddhas all over the place. Some people like it because he's nice and cute and fat like me, but still, there's other people that think there's a reason to have this thing. But let's bring it down to something maybe we can relate to. Don't raise your hand. How many of us have crosses? How many of us would never, ever, ever permit anything to happen to that cross? Be careful. Turn into an idol if you're not careful. Be careful with the crosses. Be very careful. Some churches, the bigger, the better. I saw a church this past week. I don't know if I pointed out to you or Maya. One of the two was in the car. The steeple on this church was at least 3 times the size of the building. I thought to myself, if the wind blows, that thing's going to knock the whole building over. It's so big. All right? The bigger, the more powerful these idols. The bigger, the more powerful. Israel was to have none of these quote-unquote good luck charms. And that's all they were. That's all they were. It was a way to get favor from the spirit world so that when things don't go our way, we can smooth up a little bit and suddenly things go a little bit better for us. Now, in America, we don't understand this concept quite so much. I learned it this past week, and I'm going to share something with you, okay? My yard has gone from brown to crispy, crunchy, fried. Just rained in different areas, but not enough. I've been praying, God, I need some rain. I need some rain. The ground is getting dry, and my yard's good. It's not going to come back so easy if we don't get some rain. It didn't cross my mind, but let's suppose that my yard was my livelihood. Let's suppose that I live in a neighborhood association that's going to fine me for having a brown yard. By the way, the guy that I work with lives in such a neighborhood, and if his yard goes brown, they will fine him. At that point, I'm going to make a little extra effort to get it green. Now, let's suppose that I don't have a sprinkler system. I don't have access to running water whatsoever. And this is my livelihood. In fact, this yard is what I gather my food from. What am I tempted to then? That's the temptation they were under. These people needed their crops to do well. They needed their crops to do well. And they would do whatever it took to make sure that happened. Israel had no idols whatsoever, or they were supposed to have none. They rarely actually did what they were supposed to do in any of these commands. But God said, don't have any. So then somebody walks up to them and say, here's my idol, let me see yours. You say, I don't got one. You don't have an idol at all? You're kidding me. What, did you live next to a river or something? How do you keep your crops growing? He says, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about God. You see now why some of these things are repetitive? It's not so much that God forgot He already said them. It's in context, in this particular situation, the context of holiness or being different, so that you can have a witness to tell. Verse number 5. If ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. Or a totally voluntary gift from a clear conscience. You ever heard that before? Yeah, we went over that over and over and over and over and over, got really, really tired of it. That's what a peace offering is. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it and on the morrow. And if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it's abominable. It shall not be accepted. Therefore, everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, we originally saw this in chapters 3 and chapter 7. Went through the whole thing. I thought I did pretty good, by the way. You obviously remember some of it. All right. But you know what? Chapters 3 and chapter 7, we learned about the peace offering. Don't got to go through the whole thing again. Except in this context. Now, how would a peace offering, don't answer out loud, by the way, how would a peace offering make them different from the surrounding nations, giving them opportunity to tell about God? This made them stand out for two reasons. First of all, because the offering was simply a gift, not a payment or a bribe like sacrifices to idols. I'm not an expert on pagan cultures, but I would bet every penny I've ever earned or ever will earn that when crops are good, sacrifices to pagan idols went down. After all, your crop's doing good. Why bother sacrificing to that pagan idol? On the other hand, crops are not doing so good. The pagan idols, they got extra. To the point, I would imagine, that the priest wanted them to have some problems. Why? They got some revenue coming in here. Now then, you got a good crop in Israel. You're making a sacrifice, but your crop's good. Yeah, I just want to give God something because I love Him. What? We don't do anything like that in our country. Well, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about God. Yeah. You see the point here? It's not so much do it because I said do it. He's already made that point. Now He's given them a group of ways to be holy, specifically to be different. The benefit being so that you can tell others about Me. Secondly, it stood out because God could in fact reject this gift. When have we ever heard of any idol rejecting anything from anybody? I'm going to give you a hint. They can't because they're not alive. They can't. they're not able to reject it. Never, ever, 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 ever happened because the priest, he's greedy. He wants to get whatever he can. God can reject these. Again, your God does what? What else does He do? Open door for witnessing. Yeah. Israel's whole purpose for existing was to communicate to the world there is a God, a real God, and let us tell you about Him. He could reject it if it wasn't handled properly. Verse 9. When ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Now, what's he talking about here? How many of you ever mowed a square yard with a riding mower? Raise your hand. All right. Square yards with a riding mower are pains in the rear end. Let me tell you why. The lawnmower wants to go this way. You turn it wants to go this way, but what happened to the corner? Got to back up. And pull forward. You got to back up. You got to pull forward. it's much easier just to keep going in a circle. And so I got that corner taken care of, so now I'm going this way. I'm riding my riding lawnmower. I come back to this corner right here, and the lawnmower wants to go right around here, but what about that corner? Oh, great. Got to back up, pull forward, back up, pull forward. All right, I got that corner done. So now I'm going this way. I come up here. It's like, any idea what's going to happen over here? Guess what? I'm going to have to back up and do this corner. Man, I used to hate doing corners with a riding lawnmower. It's just not any fun. Push lawnmower is not that hard because you're going up and back. But with a riding lawnmower, it's different. Now then, if you're a farmer, you don't mind doing all that work because it's just more money in your pocket. Every single thing that you can harvest goes in your pocket. So you don't mind doing those particular corners. God said, don't do the corners.
Right.
Just leave them. Just leave them. As you're coming around here, you make the turn, you keep right on going. Leave the corner. I don't care if it's got weed. I don't care if it's got corn. Leave it. Let it grow. You get down here, you come around the corner, let it go. Sure, that's money out of my pocket. I'm going to let it grow. Corn, wheat, orange, it don't matter. Come right around the corner. The corner's just going to grow. Let her grow up. Come up here to the last corner. Make the turn. This is a pretty good sized corner up here. This might be, shoot, 2 or 3 bushels full. God says, keep right on going. Let her grow. Let her grow. You think the surrounding nations recognize the difference on that one? Man, that stood out like a sore thumb. It's like you're throwing money away. You're literally throwing money away. Verse 10. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Now, we've got a vineyard out in Claremont where I live, just rows and rows and rows of vines and big old clusters of grapes. They get every one they can. God said, leave some. Why would you do that? Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger.
Yeah.
Leave them for the poor and stranger. Again, a good reason to do it. I am the Lord your God. This made them different because they designated some for the poor. They actually planned on giving some to the poor instead of clutching to every last grain or grape in case the next crop failed. And that was always a possibility. Always a possibility. Why in the world would you leave the corners? Because next year there might not be a crop at all. Well, God said do that.
Right.
What else does your God say? He's kind of strange. Yeah, let me tell you what he did with his son. See where I'm going with this?
Yes.
This law will play a direct part in the birth of Jesus. A direct part. One of Jesus' ancestors will meet her husband because of this law right here.
Right.
I got this. I was going to say, see if you can figure out which one it is, but Wade's already blown it. All right, Ruth. Ruth. An ancestor of Jesus.
That's right. Yep.
She met her husband Boaz because of this law right here.
Right.
Verse 11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. We've got two here, again, both in the Ten Commandments, but in contrast to other nations. In contrast to other nations who consistently cheated. Why would they consistently cheat? Their only goal was prosperity. And they didn't care what it took to get it. Why? Because next year there might not be any. And if there's not any next year, not only am I not eating, my family's not eating. Don't lie, even if it means you don't get to eat. Don't steal, even if it means you don't get to eat. This is something that a lot of Christians still haven't grasped today. God promised to supply our needs, but only if we do what He says. And a lot of times we think, I have to do this. It shows difference when we say, I'm going to do what God says regardless of how the outcome comes. That's what makes a difference. You will be surprised how God will show up in our lives if we will simply say, I'm going to do what God says regardless of how it affects me. Regardless. And you will be surprised at the people watching. They will be absolutely astounded by what they see God do in your life. But most of the time, we don't give God a chance to take care of us.
That's right.
We go ahead and figure it out. That doesn't help God. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help anybody. Verse 12. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Durr. Can you imagine God actually having to tell people that? Jesus quoted this verse, by the way, in Matthew chapter number 5, in verse 33. Again, ye have heard, it's been said by them of old time, guess what, in Leviticus 19, verse number 12, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, and this is huge, by the way, but I say unto you and us, because we are under the new covenant, not the old covenant, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne. Both of them are in the Bible.
Right.
Which do you do? You do the one that's in the covenant that you're under. Neither by nor by the earth, for it's his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Now, they didn't have hair coloring back then, but you want to know a secret? It don't really change the color of your hair. Ask some of the ladies who use hair coloring. It didn't take very long at all for God to show, you know, you really didn't change the color of anything. But let your communication be yea, yea, or yes, yes. Nay, nay, no, no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Again, one of the Ten Commandments. But respect for a living, omnipotent God. Let me say that again. Respect for a living, omnipotent, or all-powerful God was much higher than that of a lifeless, impotent God. Idol. Impotent means powerless. Have respect for a God that actually can show up and do something for you, is what he's saying there. 13. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that's hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Now, what's this passage say right here? Everybody gets paid every day. I'm curious. How many of y'all get paid every single day? Raise your hand. This was distinctive even by today's standards. But in those days, it was not at all unusual for them to go months, never pay up. Never pay up. God said pay every single day. How many of us could do a little bit better on our bills if we got paid every single day? Raise your hand. All right. Why don't we do this command? It's part of the Bible. Again, Old Covenant. 14. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now, other nations assumed the gods, little g, other nations assumed the gods were angry at the weak. That's why they were, in fact, weak. And you know what? There's a whole lot of Christians think the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Look at Job. Job's a great illustration of that. You must have done something wrong. Well, throughout history, people have assumed that the weak people must have done something to deserve it. Well, messed up. We don't assume that because a person has a problem, they've done something wrong. Do you know why we don't assume that? We got the book of Job to teach it to us, but it's not a natural thought. We, instead of cursing those who presumptuously God has cursed, We help them. We try to find out the cause of the problem and try to help them overcome the problem. And if there's absolutely a genuine reason why they've got this problem, then we step up and we help them as they deal with this problem. Verse 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment or justice. Thou shalt not respect or favor the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Now this makes sense. We are a nation of justice. We think that everybody deserves equal justice under the law. Would you not agree? Absolutely, but that's not typically what happened in foreign cultures. The more money you got, the more that you were favored. Yeah. You're a poor guy. It really don't hurt anything for you to be. So what? Not a big deal. I mean, don't waste our time. It's meaningless. It's nothing. You go with the big guy. God changed all that in Israel, and that stood out like a sore thumb. You're telling me that this poor guy over here that has absolutely no property, no value to the community at all, you're going to take time to hear his side of the case? Yeah. Why? Well, God said so. My God never said that. What? How other ways is your God different? To us, Jesus said this, judge not that you be not judged.
Right.
Let them off the hook completely. I'm not going to ask how many of us do that. But you know what? When we don't judge, we stand out. Right. Even today. When we don't judge, we stand out. Even today. 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Does anybody know what a talebearer is? That's gossip. That's gossip. All right? Jesus said, hey, or God said, hey, don't talk about it behind your back. Don't do it. Don't talk about it behind your back. Now that stood out crazy. Y'all don't ever talk about each other behind the back? Why not? Well, God. You see how all this opens up opportunities to tell people about God, and that's our whole purpose of being here. What is the only thing? Think about this. God saves me 30 seconds after I'm saved. I can do lots and lots of stuff for God, all of it in heaven. Right? I can praise Him, I can pray to Him, I can talk to Him, I can worship Him, I can serve Him in heaven. What is the only thing that I cannot do for God in heaven? I must do it on earth. Witness. That is the only reason God has for me being here, is to witness for Him.
That's right.
That's the reason He leaves us here after we're saved, so we can tell other people about Him. Right. The nation of Israel, that was their whole reason for existing, is to show the world there is a true, real God. Not gossiping. May the nation of Israel stand out, but notice this, a church without gossip stands out too. How many of you know somebody that used to go to church and not anymore? Okay? I don't know any of the stories, but I'll guarantee you in every case there was somebody who said something. They said this, they said that, I can't believe they said that about me, I'm never going back.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. Happens all the time. A church without gossip stands out. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. What's he saying here? Don't ignore your neighbor who is in trouble. Now this one we're pretty good at because our society loves to help other people. We can't help but get involved, and that's to our credit. But are we really helping? Are we really helping? It is easy to throw money at a problem and say, go ahead, go away, go away, leave me alone. Go, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. But why are they in trouble? Do we care enough to actually find out what the problem is? I gave the illustration earlier today. Let's suppose that a person had a bug. Not a roach, but a ladybug. The cute little ladybug. We like ladybugs, right? Let's suppose that ladybug rode around on this person's hand right there. And this person go around and say, look how cute my ladybug is. Isn't my ladybug pretty? Say, oh, ladybugs are so cute. But let's suppose that ladybug wasn't an ordinary ladybug. Let's suppose that ladybug was half leech. It was actually sucking the blood from the hand of the person that loved it. Now, let's suppose that person walked up and says, look at my cute little ladybug. What do you think? Am I being a friend by saying, oh, that's cute? That's cute. I know for a fact what's really happening. That's cute. Go away. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Go play with your bug. On the other hand, I say, you know what? That bug is cute, but it's killing you. That person may, in fact, get mad at me. But at that point, I'm protecting my friend. We have to take time with people. We have to figure out why they're in the situation they're in, or else we help them stay in the situation they're in. In the parable of the Good Samaritan that Brother Piper read earlier tonight, Jesus asked in Luke 10, verse 36, which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now Brother Piper stopped abruptly because that's where I told him to stop. The next verse gives an answer. Then he said, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, two very respected religious leaders walked by on the other side. Jesus said, that's not your friend. That's not your friend. I'm sure they were very busy. I'm sure they had appointments. I'm sure maybe they were even going to rescue somebody else. But they walked right past the Samaritan, who was a foreigner. The one that showed mercy on him. I got to move. Wow, 743? Whoa. This is good, isn't it? Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Now, let's pick up the pace here, okay? Hatred like love is an action. Never forget that. Right. Hatred like love is an action. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a feeling. 1 Corinthians 13 makes it clear that love is something we do. Well, hate is the opposite. Hate is something that we do. We cannot change how we feel.
Yes, we can.
I got this. There are people in my life that I just don't like. And sometimes I feel guilty because I don't like them. But you know what? I can't change how I feel about them. I can change how I act. Yep. I can change how I act. Even in my thoughts, I can change how I think about people. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Yep. When I begin to thinking bad thoughts about somebody, I can say, stop. God said love them. God said be kind. Yep. God says you don't know everything. God said accept them. I choose to do that even though they rub me the wrong way and oh, here they come again. But you know what? I'm going to be nice to them. I'm going to be nice to them. Other cultures, somebody you don't like, stay away from them. You don't like him, stay away from him. Why in the world would you hang out with somebody you don't like? Well, my God says so. Yeah. See, it automatically goes right into, why is you doing this? Why are you different? It's the reason he gives all this stuff to them. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Now this at first glance says you're supposed to yell at your neighbor. Doesn't say that, okay? The New Living Translation says confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sin. Confront people directly. Matthew 18, Jesus takes this a step farther. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Go and tell him his thought between thee and him alone. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." What normally happens? I hurt somebody's feelings and they tell everybody else except me.
Yeah.
Today, someone came to me and said, "You know what? You hurt me." And I was so appreciative because I had a chance to explain why I did what I did. And instead of it getting around to everybody else, it stayed between me and that person. That's what makes a huge, huge difference. The nation of Israel, churches today. Somebody hurts your feelings, go and tell them privately. Give them a chance to explain. You don't know the whole story because you don't know all the stuff that's going on in their head. Verse 16, "But if he will not hear thee," and this is always a possibility, sometimes they're just going to get mad at you. Sometimes that does happen. "If he'll not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Now, two or three more, that's not to gain. It's witnesses. It's people who know what happened. People who were there. Say, "You know what? You saw this wrong. I was there. I know what we're talking about here." Okay? Witnesses. 17, "If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church." Now, I've never seen this happen. Ever. Ever. But Jesus commanded it.
Yeah.
"If he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church." By the way, if the church started on the day of Pentecost, what church are they supposed to tell it to in Luke? All right, the church started when Jesus called the 12. That's when the church started. There had to be a church for Jesus for them to tell it to. "If he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. If he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican." You do have a course of action. But you don't jump right to the end and tell everybody else. You start privately. "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." We're going to stop right there because this one's a big one. Just going to stop right there. We'll come back to it next week. Dad?